cold snap has got him staying close to home. Let's see, Sister Bryant, Brother McGowan, and somebody else texted me. Who was it? Yes, Brother and Sister Wallace. Brother Wallace is sick, not feeling very well tonight, and in a lot of pain, he said. All right, for his surgery. They're putting him off, huh? All right, Sister Lynette, Caleb, and Rachel are gone to Dawson Springs. Thank you. About that. That's not too unexpected, is it? Anyway, all right. Well, we probably ought to pray for. I think Caleb and Hannah's fine, but you probably ought to pray for the parents and you know, maybe even the grandparents, you know. And I think they're going to be fine. But we are to pray that God will give them a good blessing. Yes, there could be bad weather up there, that's for sure. So let's do pray that they have a safe trip. Also, I thought I would mention, Brother Painter, did you get the meeting list that I left up in the booth for you? All right. Our Little Rock Youth Meeting is the 23rd through the 25th of July of next year. And then in 2006, we'll have an October 25th through 28th Ministers Meeting. So we won't have a youth meeting that year of 2016. So that's a ways off, but just thought I'd kind of let you know ahead of time. Our next general meeting is in Houston, Texas in February, the 19th through the 22nd, which will be a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday meeting. I think it starts Thursday night, which should be the 19th. Springville, Alabama, which is Birmingham area, that's Brother Sharber's Ministers Meeting, January the 13th through the 15th. For any of you brethren thinking about going to that meeting. And there's also a meeting in a regional ministers meeting in Louisville, Kentucky. I've got 15 meetings to go to next year that I'm expected to be at. I don't know how, you know, somehow that doesn't count. You know, the Dominican Republic or any other place or regional. Well, it does count some regional meetings. But, so I'm tired already just thinking about it. I always enjoy them when I get there, but just getting there is a problem, getting yourself to get there. But anyway, I thought I would mention the Houston meeting in February. It's always a very good meeting. The Oklahoma City meeting. We'll get the DVDs. I did order them, and it was a really good meeting. I think everyone that went would tell you that, and they enjoyed it. I was thankful God blessed that assembly, and it paid great respect and honor to Brother Ray Liniger and the people there, that assembly. I know it helped them. They worked hard, and the place looked beautiful. And I know that they appreciate everyone from here that went and worked and served. They were blessed by that. I think Brother Liniger said they had over 200 people from different assemblies that were coming to help. And that was probably a preliminary figure that was given him ahead of time. I would say a good number of them didn't make it. But I think they had plenty of help. It worked out good. The crowd wasn't just overflowing. It was just comfortable. But there was just a good covering there and just good talks, good moves of the Spirit and prayer lines, and everyone was blessed, I think. So I'm glad for everyone from here that's able to go, and then everyone from here that weren't able to go, well, you'll enjoy the DVDs, I'm sure. Who else needs prayer here tonight? Let's just go ahead and take prayer requests since we're mentioning different ones. Sister Thompson. All right. Brother Thompson. Let's remember him. Yes. All right, Sister Cindy's mother has surgery tomorrow. Remember that. Brother Mark. All right, Sister Sherry. Brother Fisher. All right, Sister Chelsea is home with Bridget. Remember her. And all right. Brother Daniel's sister, his oldest sister, remember her, and then his son Jacob. And Jacob Durham, too. Let's remember him. They're going through a situation, you know, his health, and he has been declared legally blind. And so they're going through a transition. And but they're, I think, looking for, you know, what good will come out of whatever God's working in their life. So let's pray with them. Let's ask God to help them. Brother Painter, when is our harvest night? The 22nd, which is about 2 weeks. So is that a week from this coming Friday night? Saturday. All right. So, looking forward to that. Brother, we got Brother Emilio Green back with us tonight. I told him, I said, you know, I mean, I really am glad he's here. And I'm sure there's needs in the Dominican Republic. One, Brother Joselo is in New York. He's been over there now probably almost 2 years, hasn't he, Brother Green?
Yes, sir.
And his wife, Nydia, is still over in the Dominican. We've applied once for her to get a visa to come to America. The thing is, he's over here, and he's trying to get, you know, papers for a work permit and everything, and he's got an attorney, and he's got his grandmother is a citizen, and so she's trying to sponsor him, but his time's run out. He's actually illegal now. And if he was to go back now, he would never get to come back. For many years, they wouldn't give him another visa. So he's asking us to pray. In fact, he is so down that he wants to just go back anyway. And I'm telling him, you know, wait, let's wait and see what God will do. We're trying to get her a visa so she could come over here, her and her little boy, his little boy, and be with him. But it's a little difficult. She's already been turned down once. So, I mean, you know, if they know that you're in America illegal and your wife's trying to come over here, that's not good. You know, that's a good enough reason for them to deny you to come, so. But the Lord could make a way, so let's pray. I'm just asking God. He is a minister. He's a good man that's been faithful in Elias' church. And then Sister Jamilka, I wish you'd pray, Brother Green's daughter. We've sponsored her education. The Wichita Church has sponsored Brother Elias' daughter, Jennifer, in medical school. And we sponsored Jamilka, and She's 1 year away from finishing medical school, which is an American-approved medical school. And a medical doctor in the Dominican Republic, just coming out of medical school, and after they finish their internship, will make about $1,000 a month after all those years of school. And they probably start around $15,000 a month over here. So I've talked to some doctors and some who are foreign students, and if she does her internship over there, she'd have to do it again if she came over here. So everyone's recommending that she just come here after she's ready, when she's ready to take her internship. And she won't have probably trouble getting a visa to come over here, but we would have to do several things to get her, make it possible for her to do an internship here. Plus, she'd probably have to do, they're telling me she'd probably have to do another semester or part of one anyway in America, because there are just some things that would be required for internship here that would be different from over there. So the different foreign students, for medical students over here that I've talked to, have told me that. I'm praying about her coming. If she would come over here, which would be a great transition for her, a great difficulty. If she was to give up everything over there and move over here and start, you know, to develop a practice here, it would be such a blessing to Brother Green's church. Just, you know, I told her, I said, I'd let you pay your tithes to Brother Green. But I said, you ought to almost match them in offerings for the Little Rock Church. You know. So she just kind of looked at me when I said that. But, you know, they really have a hard time understanding how much money a medical doctor could make over here. But it'd be a great blessing for the work over there and for her dad. She's got a little boy, 2 years old, and she'd have to leave him there while she went through her. Of course, she had to understand how it works over there. I mean, they just, Brother Green's got a house one block from his house that has Ortolina, his niece, Ismaelin, his other niece, Manuel Emilio, his son, Jamilka and her little boy, and then Barnabas and Lady, his wife, and his brother, Samuel. Who else lives in that house, Brother Green?
That's it.
That's all?
Yes,
sir. Is it a two-bedroom house?
Yes, sir. But Bernabe made his own part. He made his own bedroom house.
Out of the garage?
No, out of the part that was the store, like the, you know, the...
He had a little part built onto the house that was... Brother Green had it like where he kept his materials, a room, like a storeroom. Barnabas fixed that up and made it into a bedroom for him and his wife. Anyway, they all live in that house. And so, why did I tell that? What was I saying about that?
About her leaving
New Mason. So... You know, Ortolina, right now, Jamilka is the chief of nursing in one of the hospitals there in La Romana. She's over the nursing department, and she goes to school full time. But for her, she's making high enough grades, they want her to quit work and finish her last year full time so she'd be ready to take her internship. So that's what she's asking us to pray about. And, you know, right now, Ortolina and Ismaelin and Lady, and they all just kind of pass little Josh around, He just, you know, that's normal over there for little kids, you know. When we met Brother Green, his mother lived in a little house beside his house and in the back, just a little old building about the size of, well, about 10 by 20. Maybe, I doubt if it was 20, maybe 10 by 15. 10 foot wide and 15 foot long, little house that size. The kitchen was as wide as this platform, and a curtain that opened into a room were just big enough for a bed and the walk beside it. Leonel got the Holy Ghost on a cot in that kitchen one night about 2 o'clock in the morning. His grandma talked to him about it, and he heard it in church, and he laid there. You know, if you live in a place like that, when Lionel first came to America and it snowed in Missouri, he played outside in the snow until his hands was on fire for being so cold. He come in the house breathing hard and his hands was red and he was almost crying because he went further than he realized he went by the time he got in the house. And you know, when you're real cold, when you come in where it's warm, that makes things worse. And he looked at me and he was breathing hard and he said, "My God, Brother Smith, if it ever does this in the Dominican Republic, it'll kill everybody." Because he said, "We don't have no heat over there. Well, nobody has a heater." You know, they don't even know what makes a heater work in a car. You know, it's probably 85 degrees over there right now. Maybe at night, 75 or 80. But anyway, I was telling Brother Green last night, you know, they said it wasn't going to freeze. And then in the 10 o'clock news, they said it's going to be in the teens before morning, wind chill factor. Freezing and in the teens. So I was up to 3 o'clock this morning moving motorhomes around, checking all the water, and trying to make sure the water was drained. And I had one of them that I started and ran it all night, running the generator all night long, keeping the heater on so that the water would freeze in it. And then it didn't, not even the water in my rain gauge froze last night. But anyway, you start thinking about a $15,000, $20,000 diesel engine freezing up and a block busting on you. You'll stay up and try to make sure it ain't going to happen. But anyway, Brother Green, you know, I told him, I said, "Y'all don't know about all this." You know, I spent a big part of the day just making sure all the vehicles is all right for tonight. It's supposed to get colder. Probably won't freeze tonight either. But I believe it will tonight, probably. Anyway, pray for Sister Jamilka in that situation. What else we need to pray about, Brother? All right. Sister, what's her? Street? Is that right? All right. Let's pray for her. Sister Abraham. All right, and then let's remember Sister Brenda Hutchinson is wanting to pray for her. She just can't, after Brother Hutchinson died, she just can't hardly get, she's just always wanting to come back to Little Rock. And of course, I told her, and Brother Main told her it's all right if she wants to come back, but we're trying to help her know all, you know, all the things that you need to know if you're going to do that. With her health and her eyesight and all of that, it's, you know, I'm afraid that she's not going to have as much, you know, any more support here than she's got there, because everybody here is busy and working. And but there are programs and assistance that she can get on, and she could get right here close to the church. She'd probably be all right. Let's pray. I just told her, let's pray and see what God does. See if the Lord opened doors for us. Yes. All right. Well, thank God for blessings. Let's all stand and ask God to meet these in different needs. And help us with them, everyone. One more thing before we pray. I failed to mention it. Brother Miguel, I told y'all about this, that he paid $24,000 on a house, and then he still has to pay another $7,000 before they'll turn the house over to him. And his contract ended in Afghanistan. And so now he doesn't have a job and he owes $7,000 or he's going to lose the $24,000 he paid. He is here in America and he does have a work permit. He's got a working permit number in America. So I don't know. Maybe I may see about bringing him here and seeing if we can help him find some kind of job, if he could make, you know, just $1,000 a month or so for 7 months, he would pay that off. He could get it. Well, I mean, he'd have to have some expenses to live, but he can almost do that, you know, making minimum wage. So pray for Brother Miguel Almanza and his situation there. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Oh, Jesus. These needs, Lord, touch these that are sick in their bodies. Frails, brother and sister Crow, God, help them, touch them, strengthen them tonight, oh, God. Brother McGowan and brother Wallace, sister Linda Fisher, God, touch her and help her, Lord. Oh, God. Dear Lord, touch Sister Dolores tonight, Jesus. Sister Inez, God, touch her, help her. God, meet her need, Jesus, we pray. Oh, God, each of these needs, Brother Jacob Durham and his situation, God, help him. Brother Daniels and his sister and son, Brother Thompson, God, touch him, this situation, his sinus condition. God, heal him of this, if you would, Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God, Sister Sherry tonight, Lord, my wife and my mother, Jesus, oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Dear Lamb of God. Yes, Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, meet Brother Miguel and Brother Joselo's need, Jesus. Sister Jamilka. God, you know our needs in the Dominican Republic, the churches over there, Brother Green's church. God, take care of it while he's gone. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. We give you praise tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, God, for your grace, your touch on our lives, oh God, your covering over us, Jesus. We're thankful. We give you glory tonight, Lord. Oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. All right, bless the Lord. Let's worship Him here tonight.
help me through so many things. I want to take a time to praise your name. You're my comforter, you're my friend. No greater love hath any man. Jesus is supplying my need. Yes, I thank you, Lord. Praise your name, you've helped me through so many things. I want to take the time to praise your name. You're my comforter, you're my friend. No greater love than any man. Jesus is the fire.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, I praise your name. You've
Yes, we're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is about to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again.
I remember now why I was going to tell you about that little house that Brother Green's mother lived in. She had Ismailin and what was his brother's name? The little boy that was with Ismailin, her brother. Jacob. Those two little kids lived with her. And then Brother Green had another little shack in front of that house that Brother Green's sister-in-law, Brother Green's brother, was killed. Wasn't he killed in a car wreck, Brother Green? In an accident in 1994. So his sister-in-law lived in that little shack of a house. Had a dirt floor in it. No, just a shack. And she had, I don't know how many little children. 3 or 4 of them running around there. So they just running around all over everywhere. And then Brother Green had his 3 children. So then when Grandma died, well, then Brother Green inherited Ismailin and Jacob. Jacob now lives. She lived with his mama now, Brother Green? He goes in that little house down the street from you sometimes, and then he goes stays with his mama sometimes. Lionel stayed with Brother Green's mama sometimes, and then he stayed with his mama sometimes. Well, you kind of have to get used to how that works over there, that people don't have jobs or means to take care of their kids, and they just kind of farm them out to whoever will help take care of them. And it's just the way of life over there. Brother Green's sister has a fact, Brother Boyd and Sister Sherry were going to try to adopt Sarah. Sada, they call her. Just roll the R. But it just got to be such a difficulty and so much fees included, they finally gave up on it. She told me when I was there this last time, Brother Mark, she said, tell Brother Mark and Sister Sherry I still want them to take Sada if they can take her. It's not because those mothers don't love those children. They just know they want what's best for them, and they know that they can't provide for them. So it's, sort of, Brother Green's got a sister in his church right now that's got a little girl. I met her. Her name, they call her Penelope. That's what they call her, her name, Penelope. After about a day of me hearing them call her that, I realized her name was Penelope.
Okay.
But they call her, they didn't know that. I told them, I said, that name is, in America, we would call it Penelope. But they call her Penelope. I told them, I said, I'm either going to call her Penny or Lope, but I'm not going to call her Penelope. But anyway, her grandmother's raising her, and her grandmother is, she's feeling like she needs to, somebody in the family besides her needs to be taking care of this child. So it's just a way of life over there. You just have to understand. And I said all of this because I was trying to explain how Jamilka could possibly come over here and do a year and a half internship. And she could go back about every 5 or 6 months and see her baby, her little boy. But it'd be hard on her. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention that to you. Brother Green, you should say something to these people. That when I go to the Dominican Republic, when we finish a song, they say, okay, Brother Smith, it's your turn. And they always get me up, and Brother Green won't get up to interpret for me until I speak a little bit in Spanish. They want to hear me say something in Spanish, So I get up and I say a little bit in Spanish, I'm sure they probably laugh at my Spanish, but I still get up and say something in it.
It's good to be back. Good to be back at home. This is my base. And I feel like before I go anywhere else, I should come home. This is our main base here in America. This is the mother church. So we look to you. So whenever we refer to the body in America, well, we refer to the mother church. And then the whole body. So you are a family. And you're part of us. So whenever you go down to the Dominican Republic, you're going also home. You know, mama going to go see her children. That's the way how we put it. And so when we come here, we feel at home, we feel in family, and we all always, appreciate you. We thank you so much. We thank Brother Schmidt. We thank you all and for letting us share Brother Schmidt with you all and with us, So we know Brother Schmidt have a calling, and he is a sent man of God to the Dominican Republic. We believe he's an apostle. Not that he claimed to be that, like, other bishops and apostles somewhere else that they call themselves apostles. But we know he have that calling on his life. And God has used him in a great way. And these days, the other day, Sunday, a little bit before church was over, I went to the restroom, and I met Brother Weininger in the restroom. Brother Weininger, he was there, overwhelmed, crying, and I hugged him, and we were going to cry both together. Hugging each other. We had such a good little time there in the restroom, visiting with one another and, reminding the time when Brother Smith went to the Dominican Republic. And it just makes me, it tickles me. Makes me laugh because... hallelujah. So, sometime Brother Schmidt will be speaking, and I will be translating for him. And the Spirit will come over us. I just have to remember, this is some great time in the Lord. And the Spirit, when I'll be Bruce Smith, he's just right after it. And the Spirit will hit me so hard I will just begin to cry. Bruce Smith, where'd he go? I said, Bruce Smith, if you could have speak Spanish, you know somebody, just let me behind and go. And Brother Weidinger, so do you think? He saw, he was there to witness that. And we just had some good time in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I appreciate God for, you know, it's such a wonderful thing to remember and how God, hallelujah, he moves in such a great way. We're so blessed. Brother Weininger still remember these days and how God used Brother Smith and how, you know, how things was over there and how, you know, the Spirit of God moved in a such great way. And he saw Brother Smith with such great give in his life. And he said, Brother Green, it was so difficult for me, you know, to give up my seat here in this church. And we know that Brother Smith was the man for what God had for, you know, to be here. I said, we thank God for him. We thank God for you too, Bro Weininger. And it takes a vision. You have to have a vision. And, you know, to go this way with God, it takes a vision. Takes a vision to see God and to see what God is doing and to see God's work. You see, so many people and out there have committed so many mistakes, so many leaders. Sometimes you put over God's people, you put stepmama. I got that from Brother Smith too, you know. We need mama. I remember, you know, Moses. Well, Moses, when he was put in the river, you know, he mama and dad, they couldn't keep him more time because, you know, but they put him in the river. And you know how the daughter of Pharaoh found him? And they took him out of the water. And then one of the maidens told her, said, find one of the Israelites, ladies, to take care of that child for you and raise him for you. And you know what happened? What happened was that the mama, Moses' mama, was the one to take care of him. And that's something. Hallelujah. Was his mama. You know, who can take better care of a child than his mama? And how many, it's good, it's something good when mama taking care of, you know, her babies, her children. So I'm so glad, you know, a stepmama was taking care of me before. I went through many things out there in Babylon, stepmama. Didn't treat me right, but I'm glad for mama. Ain't you glad for mama today? Hallelujah. I'm glad for the body of Christ. I'm glad because I found this way. God showed me this way. He sent a man of God to the Dominican Republic and found me. It wasn't so easy for me. Sometime when God wanted to take people out of Egypt. Some people are in Egypt. Some people was there. And sometimes it's difficult for them to get out of Egypt. They know that they are in bondage, but it's difficult sometimes for them to leave Egypt. But thank God because we got out of Egypt. The Bible says that God took out his host out of Egypt. with strong arms and strong hands. Hallelujah. And you're glad for those strong arms. The arm of God is Jesus Christ. And his hand is a ministry. Apostle, prophet, teachers, and evangelist, pastor and evangelist. And we're so glad for God. We're so glad for what God has done. Thou have a strong ministry. It takes a strong man of God. It takes a strong ministry to stand and to go the way of God. Hallelujah. And to have a vision of God. And to see what God is doing. It's not going to be the way how we wish it to be. But the way of, you know, God have his way. It's not my way. It's not my way. You know, when in Babylon, I found out that, you know, out there we just sometimes wanted to have great church. Well, when I first started, I began to pastor in 1985. And, well, what I did was, you know, I had a church, a little over 200 people. I had other missions, opened another churches. Well, that created so many jealousy among other ministers. They had good report. And that's what we did. And, you know, gathered people, money. That gave you power. And you boast in that. You know, whenever man got, you know, people who follows him and got money, that gives you power. And you can be proud. And, well, that's what I stood for and I went after. But when I came here in the body of Christ and I got this message, this great revelation, I said, I'm going to build a great church. And probably a little space of time, we're going to have a great church. Many people. But you're going to find out that Paul said that if on this foundation somebody build gold, silver, a precious stone, wood, hay, and stubborn, you know, your work going to be tried by the fire. And in here, you know, what made me happy with God and, you know, makes me glad is that not only the good material are going to be tried, gold and silver, but the other material is going to catch a fire too. And the word what stands shall be saved. Hallelujah. And here God is going to put fire. Your word is going to catch a fire, brother. If it's God's word, if it's God, it's going to stand. Don't matter what. If it's God, it's going to catch a fire too. It's going to catch a fire. If you believe what you're doing is of God, well, let's wait. We're going to wait. We're going to see. Time is going to say if it's of God, whether if it's of God or no. Time going to speak up. Fire is going to come towards your way. And it's going to determine if it's of God or if it's not. And in this way, we thought that we was going to build great churches, great things. But we found out that God wasn't in that. You see, if you have, like somebody said at time, how many peoples do you had in the church? There was two guys that there was friend. One of them said, well, you know, after they spent long time without seeing each other, they met and they said, one told the other one, he said, how many members you got? I got a church of over 2,000 members. The other guy, you know, he had, you know, a little church, you know, not too big. Not too much people. He said, here, we don't count them. We weigh them. It's not the numbers. It's the weight. It's how much you weigh. How much you weigh. How much you weigh in the Lord. How can you stand? Can you make a stand? How much fire you can go through? So many trials you can go through in the Lord. When things are not right and coming good your way, if you can still go on and stand, it takes somebody who truly have a vision, who have an understanding of God's plan. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm excited. You have to pay a price. The price here is not cheap, brother. In heaven, all item costs, they cost. Cost something. You can shout, dance, whatever you want to do. But this is the way you have to pay the price. You have to have a vision. Jesus said, upon this rock, that's Matthew, let me see if it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He whosoever hear this saying of mine, I will liken him unto a man who built his house upon the rock. Come wind, come rain, come flood, and come winds, and hit upon that house. It didn't fall because it was built upon the rock. Hallelujah. It's not easy. You believe this way is easy. It's not. It's not easy, brother. It's not that easy. But thank God for Jesus. And also Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, he said, who man say I am? He said, well, somebody said that you're John the Baptist or one of those prophets. He said, but you, who you say I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, be blessed. You're blessed, Peter, because this wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father, but in heaven. This, the church of Jesus Christ is built upon a revelation. You have to have a revelation to come this way. And you have a revelation, keep going. It's going to take you all the way. Trials is going to come. Difficulty is going to come your way, but you know, you're upon the rock. You have a revelation. You have a revelation of this way. Ain't you glad because you have a revelation, brother? Ain't you glad for that? You thank God today. You're here because God brought you here. You're here because you have a revelation of God. So, and remember this. Once in a while, they're going to have some shakings. But fear not. If you cannot be shaken, you know, that's what is Hebrew chapter 12, verse 27, I believe that scripture says, how it reads, brother, let me see, help me, you all, let's look at that scripture, let me say in this, okay, shaking of these things are made that these things shaken might remain. The thing what cannot be shaken. Shaken are coming. The next verse, let's go to it. Wherefore, we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we might serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hallelujah. Glory. Cannot be shaken. We're not people can be shaken. If you could have been shaken, you wouldn't be here. But thank God because you're here. Going through winds of trials and tribulation. So we ain't going back. We ain't going to look back. We're going to go on. You remember that song I said we sing in the Dominican Republic? It says, I have a vision to go on. I have a vision. I cannot look back. I have a vision. We have a vision. Don't matter what happened. But let's serve God. Let's submit to God. Let's submit to the ministry. To the minister of God. The men of God. Who God has put to serve to lead us and guide us. You know, there is a sister recently, a sister in our church that I've been teaching her this word of God. And something that was, I said, well, for me to do anything, you know, here I would have to ask Brother Smith's permission for me to do. There are some things. I don't do no thing without counseling with Brother Smith. I will call him, or I will ask Brother Elias, you know, and the multitude of counselor, there is safety. Yeah, some people sometimes don't believe that or don't think that in the ministry, the counseling with the ministry have safety. Some people, well, not here, but in the Dominican Republic, I know you people have a solid foundation. But in the Dominican Republic, some people, when we teach them about, you know, counseling and something what they should do, they should not do without receiving counsel, they believe, well, this, the pastor, he just want to control my life. He just want to know what I'm doing. I mean, I know up here you don't, it's not like that, but down there, people, that's the way they think. That's the way how the carnal mind think. You know, that's the way of the serpent. But when you receive counsel, when you talk to your pastor, your minister, when you receive the blessing of the minister, something great. And I've learned that. Sometimes it's not that, you know, comfortable. But when you do it, you see the benefits of it. And I know that Brother Smith has been a friend, a brother, a pastor, a leader. And, well, in some cases, I've said that he's a prophet, and he is. And sometimes he'll tell you something, maybe you don't take it seriously. Later on, you see the thing, it happens, just like he said. And there was a lady in church that told me a time, she said, sometimes I don't like you to counsel me, because whenever you're counseled, you counsel, it's just exactly how you says it is. So people sometimes don't like that. Well, but it's for your safety. I hope in everything that I was going to do, and I found somebody to tell me exactly what was going to happen, well, I could have been better off. Isn't that right, brothers? Yeah, hallelujah. I thank God for that. So I thank God for godly men of God. I thank God for this ministry. I thank God for the body of Christ. I thank God for the judges in the body of Christ. They are just judges. And I feel safe. This is a safe place. Hallelujah. So I appreciate God for that. So you're in the best place God have given you about of the best of what he got. And you glad for that today? Sure, I'm glad for it. I'm glad for what God is doing. Sometimes we don't like some things. Hallelujah. So but I have to tell them, I have to once in a while call Elias and counsel with him and talk to him. Most of the time I will call Brother Smith and ask him questions. And sometimes I have my way and I think how, no, I think the best way how to do some things. I thought it was the best way I was thinking it. So when I receive a counsel, I see a better way. And I always like to choose the best way. Don't you? Yes, choose the best way. So I appreciate God today. I appreciate God for the people of God. I appreciate God for all of you and for what God is doing today. So thank God for all of you. Thank God for the ministry. Thank God for you all. Keep on going on. Sometimes it's not very easy, but thank God because we have Jesus. He's our strength. He's our refuge. And he won't leave us alone. He will go with us all the way. He is in the boat. And you're glad he is in the boat with us. It don't mean that because he's in the boat, it don't mean that winds are not coming. It don't mean that storm won't come. But what it means is that he's a good captain and that he knows. And he sometimes even know how to stop the winds. Sometimes some winds of situation will go on in your life. But fear not. He's in the boat. Don't jump out of the boat. Stay in the boat. We got a good captain. And he's going to make sure that we'll be all right. He's going to make sure that we're going to get to the other side. We're going to get to the other side. Hallelujah. He's a good captain. Captain Jesus. You can call him at any time. His phone is available 24/7. And you're glad for that. Hallelujah. Call him at any time. And he's real. How many of you know that he's real? He's real in my life. He's real. I've seen his reality in my life. It works. When I called him, he's always there, brother. He's always there. He won't leave me. He won't leave you. You can call him at any time. Hallelujah. So it's going to come trials, but you know, and some little fire once in a while, but it's to take you on to perfection. Sometimes there are some things in our lives that need to be purged. Sometimes we need a little fire to burn them out of our life. Yeah. But we'll be all right. We'll be all right. Jesus knows how to fix it all. So I'm glad to be here tonight and be with you all and stop by and say hello and say God bless you at least, and invite some of you to, in the time, in the meantime, when Brother Smith come, to come and see us in the Dominican Republic. This work is grown. God is doing great things. We're excited of what God is doing. When we see many new people coming, people hungry for this word of God. So we need more resources sometime, but pray for us. God got all what we need. He won't give us all what we want, but he will give us all what we need. We're serving a great God. We're serving a wise God. He knows everything. He will meet all of our needs. We got a, Brother Smith already know it, we got a need right now. Our church building, they want for we to give it up. We have to find another place. We have to find another building. We're going to have to find another, probably a lot. Probably God is pushing us. Maybe we feel too comfortable in a big building. And it's comfortable. Like a good space. We have all our main services there. Probably God is working a way to break our nest. Say, well, it's time to break this old nest. We want to get a new and better nest, probably. I don't know what he wants. But whatever he wants us to do, it's going to be good. You believe so, brothers? Pray for us. I believe that probably God wants us to have a better place. Probably a place of our own. So we have to get a place. Praying. We got until January to get a new building. Maybe God will touch those people and let us stay another year. Or give us our own place. Who knows? So, but whatever God do, he do it good. He have everything under control. Captain Jesus, he have everything under control. So, may God bless you tonight. I just wanted to stand up and greet you and say hi. Good night. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I was going to take this with me, brother. Said his phone is available 24/7. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I am glad for that.
Yes.
Praise to God.
I've never called on him that I didn't think, when I've never felt like he wasn't listening. Have you ever talked to God? I've never talked to God. I mean, I see how people could be down and thank God. You know, I did tell him a few times, are you listening? But I knew he was. I knew he's not deaf and he ain't asleep. He don't sleep and he don't slumber, the Bible says. Oh, what a God. Anytime, anywhere in the world, one of his children calls on him, he's available. You know, that first message we're to preach in a restored church is fear God and give Him glory. You know, that word give Him glory means, it means to give Him honor, give Him worship, give Him praise, recognize Him, give Him the place He's supposed to have, be in awe of Him, you know. What's the word I want to say? To focus enough on Him to understand His proper place in our life, where we're, you know, Brother Green was talking about, you know, counseling with me. I mean, I appreciate that because it shows that he don't want to miss God, and he realizes that, you know, God put me in that place in His life. But I'm not, you know, the thing is, it's God you're giving honor to. It's God you're looking to for counsel. You're looking for God, even if you're counseling with a man of God, you're looking for God's answer in it. That man's looking for God's answer. He should be. And, you know, there's some things. I had somebody call me today and said, Brother Smith, I wanted to run this past you. I said, what do you think about this? I said, get it out of your head. It'll never fly. It ain't even need, don't even need to be considered anymore. Don't even consider it. I said, you're thinking wrong. Well, see, there's some things I don't have to pray about. I know enough about God in some things. But there's other things that people talk to me about. I don't know what God's answer is. I'm here to help you find it. You know, and we're looking together for God's answer, you know. And so, but I've been thinking about that scripture a lot lately, to give Him, to fear Him, which means to reverence and to be afraid of missing Him or not pleasing Him or not giving Him that rightful place in our lives, and worship Him, give Him glory, honor Him, praise Him, give Him the due respect that He's worthy of. And I've just been thinking on building on that. I don't know if I even want to talk about the other two messages yet. I'd like to get that message down, to fear God and give Him glory. To get that in our lives where we are afraid not to mention Him, afraid not to look at Him, afraid not to honor Him in all things, give Him thanks and recognize Him in every day, everything that's going on in our lives, and worship Him. Not, you know, trying to make, God's not interested in us just, you know, making Him some kind of idolistic idol, or, you know, He's interested in knowing Him, knowing His Word, knowing His goodness, His grace, His love and tender mercies, His workings and His long suffering, but His also His judgments. He wants to know us in all of those things. That's why we should fear Him, because we need to know Him in a greater way. We need to understand Him. We need His mind. My God, He's called us to rule the world, reign the world with Him. He's calling on us to know and understand His righteousness and His overall plan that well. Our Lord, as minute, as simple as we are, to think that He would place that kind of calling on us, that He could lift us up and put us in that kind of place. Dear God, hallelujah. And you know, it's not having to be something special, but it's just learning to be ourselves as He places us in the character, in His character, and His workings, and His, you know, in other words, it, you know, I don't care who you are or what you know. if you know what you're doing, just like, you know, Brother Matthew, Brother Durham, they're plumbers. Well, you don't have to, you know, I mean, if you know, you know, like Brother Durham told us about, this guy sent him out to the truck when he first started for some kind of tool. What was it, Brother Durham? A spud wrench. Well, see, if somebody told him to go get a spud wrench today, he'd just kind of chuckle at him, you know, because he knows everything about plumbing there is to know. That's how we are to be with God. And being God's, you know, we're just to be simple. It's simple when you know what you're doing. When you know God's mind, when you know His Spirit, it's just simple to be what He made us to be. And that's what we're striving for, is just to be what God wants us to be. See, I'm not really thinking about being a big boss over a bunch of cities to rule over. I'm just thinking about whatever my part is. If we're all together doing our part, it's one government of God, but we're all doing our part. And it sounds like, just like the Dominican Republic, that sounds to me, I mean, if I stop and think about it, to think, you know, I've got all this. In fact, I've been the last few days, I've been in almost a bad spirit. Because their financial needs gets heavy on me at times. And I get the feeling like this ain't never going to end. You know, their needs are so great. They just, every little thing. And I've spoiled them in a way, you know, because every time they have a need, they tell me about it. I help them with their need. Well, let me just ask you, if you lived in a poverty-stricken country and you knew a guy you could call when you had a need, the brakes went out on your car and you needed $200, and every time you call this guy, he helped you, it'd be hard not to call him, wouldn't it? Well, you know, and it's hard on him. Brother Green, he tries to get these guys, don't be calling Brother Smith about every little thing. Wait till something big happens. Wait till you have a big need, then call him. But they still, you know, even he has needs, you know, and he tries to keep from asking me about them. And sometimes I get to thinking about what all I'm doing, what all I'm paying. Rent here, rent there, electricity here, insurance there. My God, and it gets heavy on me, and I get weary with it. But then finally I have to come down and just realize this is God's work. You've always met our needs. You hadn't given us any surplus. This one guy over there right now, you know, he's talking about making Brother Green a millionaire. You know, you want to laugh about something, you can laugh about that. You know, how many people you know in the body of Christ, somebody made them a millionaire? That's laughable, isn't it? You pretty well know God ain't going to do that. That'd ruin a lot of people, you know. Well, I mean, I wish we was in a place where God gave us $1 million, we'd know what to do with it. And I hope we would do the right thing. But it's not that I wouldn't accept it or can't believe God could do it. I just know he just generally don't have us make those big of leaps or big of jump in one jump. God's line upon line, precept upon precept. He builds a bridge one plank at a time. And we finally get across the river, you know, but God he's slow about how he does things, but he's more sure. When God establishes something, it's sure. It's unmovable, Brother Green. It cannot be moved once God gets it set in place. But if you're built on a puff of air, you're built on, you know, something that's not too stable, it's not too much holding it up, no wonder Jesus, he wouldn't even let them. He never even thought about letting anybody make anything great out of him. He just kept us, He just kept his sandals on, kept letting the sand run through his toes, burning his feet, and just kept putting one foot in front of the other when he knew he was called into poverty and called to do a work for God. Oh, God, saints, sometimes don't you just think about how, you know, God could do, he could save the world with one man, Jesus, that didn't have two pennies to rub together. Don't you know he could use you? He could use you without you being anything great that man could see. But it could mean eternity for so many. Such a great work God can do in the lives of those that will learn to yield to him and let him do his work. Hallelujah. What a revelation, and how simple it is, and yet it takes great faith to believe it and live it. All right, Brother Brett. Hallelujah.
Whoa. Sometimes I feel neglected. Sometimes so all alone, as through this world I wander with heavy heart I stumble on. Sometimes I can't carry on till in prayer I reach that switchboard when my Lord picks up the phone. Well, when my Lord picks up the phone, we talk things over, he and I. And he tells me not to worry, not to fret much, no, not to cry. I may be born to toil and trouble, but I don't toil nor cry alone. When in prayer I reach that switchboard, when my Lord picks up the phone, sometimes I charge up or I leave my phone at home. When I wander far from the tower, I drop my signal, I start to roam. My plan then needs an upgrade. Delete old contacts, bad seeds I've sown. Well, I never exceed my minutes when my Lord picks up the phone. Well, when my Lord picks up the phone, we talk things over, he and I. And he tells me not to worry, not to fret much, no, not to cry. I may be born to toil and trouble, but I don't toil nor cry alone. When in prayer I reach that switchboard, when my Lord picks up the phone. Well, when my Lord picks up the phone, we talk things over, he and I. And he tells me not to worry, not to fret much, no, not to cry. I may be born to toil and trouble, but I don't toil or cry alone. When in prayer I reach that switchboard, when my Lord picks up the phone, Well, when my Lord picks up the phone, we talk things over, he and I. And he tells me not to worry, not to fret much, no, not to cry. I may be born to toil and trouble, but I don't toil or cry alone. When in prayer I reach that switchboard, when my Lord picks up the phone.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Sister Ann. Raise your hand if you're going to the wedding. Two, four, six, 8, 10. Huh? Everybody that goes to the wedding won't be back. There ain't no way they can get back, I don't think, in time for Sunday morning. They might get back for Sunday night. I would say 15 or 20 will be gone. About. Yeah. Need to watch also the weather and see how the roads are going to be. I hope it's going to be clear enough so everybody can go. Of course, no matter how bad it is, Caleb's got to, he's already there, see. So he don't have to come back till the roads clear up. But Brother Fred's got to go no matter what. So anyway, it's an exciting thing that we're having. It's hard to believe Brother Caleb's getting married, isn't it? But I thank the Lord's, you know, giving him a good young lady to be a good wife to him. I'm excited for him. Brother Painter? For the Fall Fest, Saturday the 22nd, how many of y'all plan on coming? I am. The Fall Fest, I'd say most of the folks will be here, I feel pretty sure. Yeah, some of them. Sure, it's a weekend, Saturday before Thanksgiving, so you know, that shouldn't interfere with your Thanksgiving, Sister Painter. Oh, Sister Daniels from Poto. Okay. She's back in the hospital here in town. All right. Well, let's remember her in prayer before we go home here tonight. Thank you, Sister Painter. Brother Veely, his wife, has got cancer. Again, lung cancer this time. So let's remember her. Then Brother, I believe it's Brother McElroy's son in Jacksonville, Brother Dial's Assembly. He's 25 years old. He just got married 9 months ago. He's got brain cancer, and it's in an area they cannot operate on, and they can't give him chemotherapy. If God doesn't touch him, he's going to die. His wife was at the meeting. We prayed for her. She stood in for him. So you think you got problems? Let's remember that need. That's a great need. All right. Praise God. Let's stand and dismiss here, but let's remember those those two needs there. And why don't we pray? Sister Inez, I want you to come down here. I want to pray for you. And have the ministry here pray. Let's pray, God, to touch Sister Inez. Keep her free of this cancer ordeal she's been through. I just feel like we need her, don't y'all? And so we can't let her go. All right, dear God, blessed Lord, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lamb of God. God, you're our strength. You're our shield and buckler, our help, oh God. Our trust is in you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. God, touch my sister. Help her, oh God. God, cleanse her body and help her, oh God. Oh, precious Jesus, I love you, Lord. I trust you, Jesus, hallelujah. You're our helper, oh God. Touch Brother McElroy tonight, oh God. This cancer in his brain, God, remove that. Oh God, let your strength, let your testimony go forth. Oh God, of your care and your hand on your people. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lamb of God, touch Brother, Brother Daniel's daughter tonight in the hospital. God, touch her. Let the doctors, oh God, minister and serve her with your healing power. Oh God, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Lamb of God, we love you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh God, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, precious Lord, precious Lord. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. God bless your hearts.